Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, the theme is thank God it's over. And I'll leave it up to you whether I'm talking about game week 8 or the U.S. presidential election. I will say the U.S. presidential election went a lot better for me than game week. Wait, was it game week 7?
Game week 8.
Game week 8. See, yep. I can't even keep track anymore. I think the election went better for me than recent game weeks, just broadly speaking. So we've got a lot to talk about here.
Yeah. I've got some champagne here though, so I'm toasting I don't even know. Well, let's just say I'm toasting. Okay, I'm toasting. I'm excited, and I'm very hungover after a full day of celebrating yesterday. And I forgot that the late 30s. You know, I thought when I was in my 20s, I knew what a hangover was. Mm-hmm. But I forgot that when you're in your 30s, you can have two different kinds of hangovers. You can have the I have a headache. You know, I just feel ill hangover, and then you can have the I'm incredibly angry and I don't know why hangover. And if you go back and look at my tweets today, it is just like drips of derision. And I was like later on in the day, I was so angry this morning. And then I was like, oh, right, I was hungover. You know, I just wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
And
that is why over. Yeah. That is why the world has given us pizza in many different frozen formats. For early in the day, you've got the pizza bagel, because when pizza's on a bagel, you can eat it anytime. For a midday snack, you get the pizza roll. And in the evening, before you record the Always Cheating Podcast, just get a true blue pizza pie. Pizza will cure all that ails you in a situation like that, Josh.
I think that's very true. And I like all kinds as well. I do. I've gotten partial to the Newman's Own frozen pizzas,
Brent. Oh, God. Here we go. Now we're in podcast land right now, talking about Paul Newman's frozen pizza. All right. Let's escape from this and get to FPL. And let's today, Josh, I love you've set the theme for this podcast, fitting for the international break. We've got 2 weeks basically of relief from the FPL season. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the Always Cheating Early Season FPL Awards. I feel like we should be wearing tuxedos as opposed to I'm wearing a cardigan with
a hole in each elbow right now. That's how I've dressed up for the early season FPL awards.
Yeah, I've got a cardigan on as well, actually. So we're like 70 years old. We're older than Biden, Brandon. Yeah.
There you go. So where are we before we get to the before we just dive into the break and get into these frivolous awards? Where are we terrestrially with Game Week 8? What's the score?
Yeah, so we are through Game Week 8. Honestly, the final 30 minutes of Game Week 8 kind of saved my game week. I really was quite, you know what? I'm going to cut myself a little bit of slack because I was very distracted by the election the last several days. And the deadline came very early on Friday, as I'm sure it caught some managers out there without realizing it, because I think it was, especially because now it's 90 minutes. And so I think the deadline was like 11 a.m. U.S. time on Friday.
It's an odd time for Americans, for sure.
Super odd time. Lots of stuff going on. But I'm sure even across the world, right? What is that, like 4 o'clock in England? So it was, you know, it was very early in the day. So I was debating a bunch of different things. And I feel like I ultimately pulled a 2019-2020 Brandon, which is that I just didn't make a decision. And I talked myself into the appeal of having two transfers. And if there is a theme for me this season, a thing that has actually worked for me, it is to fix my weakest link. And every time that I've had two transfers so far this season, I've not done very well with that. And the last time I had two transfers, I brought in Phil Foden. And I think, you know, which is a complete disaster. And, you know, I did that 2 weeks ago. So I didn't even get the goal and assist, you know, from the previous two game weeks. If I had just gone very simple, you know, route one, I would have gone Sace to Kufal. That was the move I talked about on last week's podcast. That was what I was debating. And then I was like, well, maybe I can get by without it. You know, like maybe everything will be okay. And it wasn't, you know, and I got zero from Foden, zero from Sace, zero from Stuart Dallas, the player I played instead. And I guess I ultimately did get 2 points off the bench. From Bissouma. Yeah. So, you know, just, you know, you can get seduced by the lure of two free transfers. I mean, I guess the upside is I do have two free transfers now. So I was feeling pretty bad. And then I felt like I just kind of got a little silly with my captain. I should have gone Kane, which I'd done for 3 weeks in a row. I went Kane and it was, you know, I was very happy with doing that like the rest of the season practically. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I should get Son because he has these like double digit returns. And, you know, I almost got away with it. I mean, Son had like a, you know, an amazing chance, I think 20 minutes in, I mean, completely. Nobody around him. And he took like 9 touches, like, which he never does. He's normally so lethal in those moments. Mm-hmm. And it's very unusual for him to do that. And
death by 1,000 touches.
Yeah. It's just not a great match for him in general. I thought he was a little slow, a little behind. And so, you know, I have Kane, so it was fine. I mean, in the end, it's a 6-point difference, not like season ending annoying, but it was just like, ugh, you know. And so, you know, right at the end, though, I got a clean sheet from Martinez and I got a brace from Ollie Watkins. And suddenly Watkins feels like a super valuable player to have in my team. I've got 20 points from him in the last 2 weeks. He's available for just 6 million overall, 5% owned. And they've got a great run of fixtures ahead. So, you know, not a great week for me. I mean, 63 points is, I think, right about average. I guess it's actually a little above average. I ended up falling 4,000 spots, which feels kind of unusual. Like, with 7.5 million managers in the game, feels like it's actually hard to fall just 4,000 spots. Like, that's about as close to like an even game week as you can get. So, I'm still under 300K, 294K overall, which I think is fine. You know, I mean, it sort of feels like, and I've got two free transfers, so should have eight more points than I do if I had just been a little smarter. But I'm moving on. So, how about you, Brandon? How was your game week?
Well, a similar story for me. I dropped around 7,000. Places and overall rank. The difference is, I'm dropping from, you know, 3.6 whatever million to 3.6 whatever million. So it just continues to be a bloody disaster of a season.
Yeah.
My transfers were abysmal. I burned 4 to, you know, talk about solving your weakest link. Sace doesn't play, he's out. Matt Ryan has been an awful FPL asset. So he's got to go as well. He's also coming off of being benched by Graham Potter.
Yeah.
So Ryan is out and Sace are out for Bellerin and Mendy. Much has been made about Arsenal have let in only 7 goals in the Premier League this season, the least of any squad. Mendy, 3 clean sheets and 3 starts for Chelsea. And I mean, you can grouse all you want about, I brought in these defensive assets and both give up clean sheets. Fine, whatever. The precarious nature of clean sheets is what it is, and you kind of have to accept this. The positive note, I think, would be if I'm looking at Wolves and Brighton defense out and Chelsea and Arsenal defense in, that's a long-term gamble that I am happy to have made. So it's a like net negative for me in game week 8, and I hate it, and it doesn't feel great right now, but I have to believe it was better for my team long-term.
Yeah, I think it will be. I would expect clean sheets from both teams. It was a little surprising. And, you know, it's Aston Villa are a team, and that was one of the things I was thinking about with Watkins. They might be a team that a little bit like Man United, where they're just better when they play a team that is actually trying to win, you know, and like they can catch them on the break. It seems so I guess that's why Arsenal conceded. I mean, it was just like it felt like Villa had looked so toothless in the. I suppose they scored a little bit at the end of that Leeds match, but they really it felt like it was last year's Villa at times. And so, So, I mean, I don't fault your moves either. I don't really know. I mean, Bellerin has 2 double digit returns in the season. He's only 5 million overall. And you know, the Mendy move, it was like, well, I just thought it was like creative. Like, I didn't know if it was going to work or not, but at least like you brought in someone that nobody has, you know, like there's a kind of appeal in that, I think.
I will just say this for decision-making for FPL managers, and this is one that I don't think you encounter most weeks, and we don't want to put too much of an emphasis on team value, but I did convince myself that my hand was forced because in order to get both Mendy and Bellerin, I had to make the moves earlier in the week, and I had to burn 4 to get them because both of their prices were rising, and if I didn't catch them early, I just wouldn't have the cash to do it. So it was a long-term gamble for the -4, and I thought they both had good fixtures, which, Chelsea more than Arsenal, and it just didn't come through. And you say in hindsight, well, Brighton had a really great home fixture hosting Burnley, and that's a great – I mean, that clean sheet was inevitable 5 minutes into that Brighton-Burnley match. I mean, Burnley are absolutely awful right now.
Oh, Brandon. Wait till the awards, my friend. Wait till the awards.
Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of what I have to say about that. I did captain Kane, so that was a decent highlight for my week. And this is something that you and I were going back and forth on our Patreon podcast Thursday evening, is James Justin or Matt Target for the start. And I opted to bench James Justin, and he comes through the clean sheet, kicking myself. But the reason I started Target was just his chances created, his stats in terms of attacking were compelling enough.
Are we going to get some more ICT talk on this podcast?
yeah. Just looking at Matt Target's ICT. So to get his 11 points was basically the one gratifying moment of me as an intellectual FPL manager that I got this week. But I mean, it's just like another week where I'm just waiting for my season to start, and it's not started yet.
Do you have like a goal for yourself right now? Like, 500...
No. Talk to me about goals. Like, well, how could I have a goal right now? I'm cast adrift. I'm totally cast adrift. And I think that's, I mean, I'm not trying with it.
No, it's okay. I know that you're responding. You were like, you're not like, I'm going to quit, you know, like you're just like,
no.
Yeah, totally.
No, but to say, okay. I think it's not helped by the fact that I've been adrift since game week 2, basically.
Yeah.
If you have one bad week, I think you still have a solid goal that you'd set and you could target. But for me, I do not know where my FPL team is settling, if it will ever settle this season. I mean, I've never been in a situation where completing game week 8, I still don't have solid footing. I still don't kind of know what the trajectory of my team is, and it's frankly terrifying. So to talk about what my goal is for the season, I think we talk a lot about making fantasy fun again, and to do that, it's okay to just play it for fun and to play it week to week. So I'm in a situation where I am right now, where I suddenly say, well, now my goal is this, and I continue to not hit that goal, it becomes less and less fun. So I don't think that I'm helped by having a goal.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that's a very honest, like non-political, like that is a proper answer. Like a simple thing to say. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you know, and I can understand that too. And maybe there's really just no point in even looking at your rank. You know, one thing, there are certain things that we talked about in last week's podcast that I tried to put into place this week. I did not go to Live FPL or any of those places. I did not look at what the effect of ownership was for all of the managers. I've decided that is not a fun thing for me, that it does not enhance my enjoyment of the weekend. I mean, God bless those sites. It's great that they're up there and that the live, bless. You know. Yeah, and a shout out, by the way, to FPL Game Week, Brandon, who did a little shout out for us. But it's actually a great place. And this is like a free promo because we're I actually told them we'd talk about them at next week's pod. But a bonus promo, Brandon, to say thanks to them because it's a great place to check your mini leagues. But anyway, I didn't watch multiple matches on Saturday and Sunday, which I think was also useful. I don't know about you. I did not watch a minute of the Chelsea. The games to miss, I think, are the ones where they can only hurt you. You know, I didn't have a single player in Wolves Leicester. Like, that game was only going to be misery for me, right? There was like no combination of, it's like I would have needed like multiple red cards for that game not to hurt me at all. And I mean, actually it worked out about as well as I could have, truly. And, you know, and then in yesterday's Chelsea match, I didn't have any Chelsea players and they were sort of the hot team. And I was kind of kicking myself for not trying to bring in like a Chilwell type player for Sace. And so I was like, I'm just not going to watch this at all. And, you know, there is like a kind of like distance that like when you just see the score later and you run through like all the things that happen and watch the highlights or whatever, it does not hit you as hard for sure, in my opinion. You know what I mean? You see it and you're like, he scored. That's annoying. But like when it happens in real time, you're like, oh, crap. Like that's 200,000 spots I've just dropped like the second that happens. But, you know, when you see it all jammed together, you're like, well, that's probably not good for me, you know, but it doesn't feel quite as like impactful.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the one game specifically I took off this weekend was West Ham Fulham, and I'm a Fulham supporter, and it was with a little bit of trepidation. I mean, they're starting to look like an actual cohesive team, but basically the roof came off of the United States of America and I wanted to go out into the streets and party. Yeah. And Adamola Lookman did not feel the same way. So it was absolutely heartbreaking. You know, I got all these text messages from people being like, wait until you see the highlights. And I'm like, what could have possibly happened in this 1-0 loss for Fulham that could be so interesting? And then when I see this penalty taken by Lookman, I am just aghast.
Scott Parker should be sacked for letting Lookman take that penalty, right?
No. This is not, don't blame Scott Parker for that. You have to look square at Mitrovic because this is not the first time that this has happened. You remember when Kamara took the ball off of Mitrovic to take a pen in the 2018-19 season, last time Fulham were in the Prem, and Kamara made a mess of it too. Right. Why isn't the largest person on the field, who is also Serbian, not exerting any sort of authority of any kind? That is an indictment of Mitrovic.
So right just there. To reframe this for all of our Serbian listeners and our listeners of Serbian descent.
Yeah, come at me.
You are telling me that Mitro is soft, right? This is the exact words.
He's weak. He's weak. I'll put my address in the show notes and all the Serbians can come speak to me at my front door. I welcome him.
Yeah. But it is, it's a lot more fun to watch matches when you, it's a lot more fun to watch matches when you're not watching all of them. And it was a good, it was good that I actually, like I said, I was going to do it in last week's pod and then actually did it. And I really am happy that I did. So that's some free advice for people out there who have been watching like 8 hours of matches a day, as I have. So I want to get to these awards, Brandon, a quick update. We finally, because the match has typically been ending on Monday, we finally have a chance to do a Always Cheating Super League update. So let's quickly read off the top 10, and maybe I'll do this one.
Sure,
The top 10 Always Cheating Super League. In 10th, we have Zaki Team 2. In 9th, we've got Power Lines FC. Looks like that's a co-managed team, Brandon. Ryan Liebenthal and Jared Angel. How do you like that?
I love it. I love it.
Sanction that.
Yeah, two brains are better than one. That's what I believe.
You better get legal representation, guys. Rafa Munchen is in 7th, tied with Majin, who's also in 7th. Some Witty Name FC is in 6th. Come on, you Gunners, I assume, COYG. That's what that would be, right? Come on, you Gunners.
I would assume so, but you know, I have an imagination, but I don't think we want to go there.
Artem Panoff, though. No Kane, No Gain in 4th. And then two-way tie for 2nd. Coolest Son and Johan Cruyff Academy are tied for 2nd. And then Londo FC, Ego Less, is in 1st place. So and that's IGO Less, but now that I say it out loud, egoless, I wonder if that is his real name or if that is a somebody who is really like, I don't like that. You don't need to know who I am. You know, I'm just egoless. I don't know. Anyway, it's IGOless, and congratulations. You're in 1st place. Brandon, just to wrap this all up so we can get right to the awards, can you do a quick shout out for Patreon?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. If you like what Josh and I do every week for free on the Always Cheating podcast, there's a great way for you to say thank you. Just head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/alwayscheating, and that's where you can get more FPL content for your contribution. You can get an extra podcast every week. You also get a week in review newsletter from us, courtesy of Mini League Mate. Love these emails from Mini League Mate, where they give this like incredible stats rundown of everyone in your league, transfers in, transfers out, captaincy percentages. And it's just like a data dump, which like managers love that stuff. You also get t-shirts at the highest possible level, access to our discussion Slack forums, rate my teams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, for more information on that, how you can support the cheaters, head to patreon.com/alwayscheating. A quick thank you to new Patreon supporters at the Lord Sorloth tier, Jonathan Mahler. Big thank you to Jonathan out there. Also thanks to Andrew Norfolk and our new Pookie patron, Taylor Sturtz. Thank you, Taylor.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. And once again, patreon.com/alwayscheating, where you go. And any pledge level helps and is very much appreciated. And thanks to our new patrons this week. All right, Brandon, let's take a break. We'll get back and talk about the early season award winners. All right, Brandon, we're back. Always Cheating early season award winners. All right, we've come up with a few awards, Brandon. This is some standard fare for the end of the season. We're moving it to the 8:38 mark of the season, but you know, we're only we're only 8 weeks in, but we're heading into the international break. We know a lot more than we did 8 weeks ago. Honestly, 8 weeks feels like a full season in fantasy terms, because you had the long preseason, you've had is this the second or third international break already? It feels like we've had dozens of, I guess there was one right before the season started, mm-hmm. right? So this is the third, but it
doesn't feel great. Whatever it is, it doesn't feel great, Josh.
Yeah, I just want to keep doubling down on this season, like, no matter what.
The league is kind of like, what would happen if we gave them a greater chance of exposure to COVID? Let's find out.
I know. And England has 3 friendlies this week too. It's like they're like doubling down and then going 50% harder on top of that. Sure.
The phrase deep squad will be used quite a bit in the next 2 weeks.
Indeed. Yeah. So hold your transfers, folks. So let's run through the Always Cheating Awards. We've got some highs and lows to run through here. It's not all praise, Brandon. Some of it is, there's some tough love in here too. Okay. Uh-huh. So let's start things off though on an upbeat note. The most valuable FPL player, Brandon,
Yeah.
Now this, you know, this is a very subjective thing, of course. I mean, as we know, you know, somehow Jordan Henderson was the most valuable player for Liverpool last season. I don't want to go into that again. I got a lot of people very angry at me when I took issue with that. And I think he's definitely one of the 10 or 20 best players on their team, 100%, Brandon. I will never disagree with anybody about that. Yeah. But it's, you know, very subjective thing, right? I would have gone with one of the better players, personally. So most valuable player, Brandon, for fantasy, though, we're talking specifically about fantasy here, through eight weeks. I've got some candidates here, Brandon. Heung-min Son, Mohamed Salah, Harry Kane, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and Patrick Heinrich Bamford. I made up that middle name, but it sounds right.
It's I actually think that's probably 100% correct without knowing. And if you go to the FPL site and you sort on the stats page, all players by value. So FPL has already given this award for us. Patrick Heinrich Bamford is already rated the most valuable player in the game right now. Just, and that would be a calculation of FPL points return versus what you would pay for him to bring him into your fantasy team. Right now he costs 6 million and he's returned 58 points. His rating is 9.7. The next closest player is Kurt Zuma with a value rating of 9.1. Who's just below Kurt Zuma, Josh?
Who's below Zuma? Gosh, I don't know who is.
It's a Vestergaard for Southampton. Really? So, so you are not joking when you're saying that this is a subjective category, because I don't think anyone in their right mind would want Vestergaard on the stage at our very esteemed awards ceremony. My feeling right now is I'm just going to jump out here, right, and say Harry Kane is the dude. You've got cheaper players like DCL and Bamford doing the business, but Harry Kane has got to be the most valuable FPL asset right now just by the virtue of the faith that we have in him and how he rewards that faith. And it's not – Game Week 8 is kind of a great case for that, because – it's kind of, you know, soft and loud with Spurs depending on the week, but Kane consistently comes through and you have enough faith in his consistency that you would captain him. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of goes with the team that he plays in and the fixtures that they have had. But if you look at all the other players on this list, Josh, Son and Salah and DCL and Bamford, they just don't seem to warrant that level of faith. And Salah would be the one where we have captained him more than Kane. And while Salah is having a pretty good season, I think he's returned in every week but two, I feel like his captaincy is always so much more fraught than Kane's captaincy.
I think that I would go with Kane as well. And I thought you might say that after now that we put in these 10,000 hours of podcasting together, Brandon, I tend to know, you know, where you're going to go with this stuff. And I'm with you there. I think it's almost like you need two categories. Like you need the value category and the like most captainable category. But I would go Kane. I think Salah is up there. You know, it's honestly the second half of today's match was another moment where you were just like, man, I don't know, like they were away to Man City, even without crowds. That's a tricky fixture, and Man City's defense has been a lot better, but it's just a feeling that like he does not feel quite as integral to everything. And Kane is just finding a way so consistently. And I think, you know, he's eminently captainable, and he's not incredibly expensive, and he is, I think, fairly fixture proof. You know, I don't know that I like can think of like a Man City match or something where he's like put up massive numbers, but certainly, you know, he loves all the like London derbies, for example, and has put up big numbers on Chelsea. So, you know, I just think that he's like a very reliable captain asset, not too expensive. I think he's the most valuable player to start the season as well.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Let's just zero in on this guy. One blank on the entire season. Yeah. And when we were trying to formulate our strategy for FPL going into game week one, you're thinking, I don't really want to spend a lot of money in my forwards. Midfield is big time. now we're at a situation where, you know, as we said on Always Cheating a couple of weeks ago, it's the season of the forward. We have lots of really enticing options and some of them value. But Calvert-Lewin has been this steady constant throughout this start of the season. Just one blank against Southampton, oddly. I mean, after scoring goals against Liverpool, Spurs, he's got an assist against Manchester United.
It was just a weird match. I don't know. Maybe it's because it was the first match after Richarlison was out with a red card or something.
Yeah. I think that's right. And, you know, we talked a bit about how Everton kind of like how they perform week to week balances on this knife's edge of do they have their the entirety of their preferred starting 11 or not. So anyway, I guess it's just kind of an honorable mention for DCL. And it's just like, as each season goes by, DCL does not waver. He's not fading away the way some like the Michus of FPL tend to fade away. DCL is only gaining in esteem.
Yeah. I mean, and you can see it. I mean, you can just see it in, I mean, first of all, he's like the premier header of the ball all of a sudden, you know, it's just like, he's so, I was a little surprised. I mean, I guess I haven't like watched like it forensically or whatever, but it seemed pretty clear to me that he was at least involved, in that Bernard goal, whether he, you know, he certainly, the intention was to head it along to Bernard. So, you know,
don't qualify yourself, Joshua. You said to me before, it's best to be loud and right. And you are loud and right in this situation, in which it was a DCL assist. Stop with your whatever you're doing, FPL. Yeah. Just stop it. Stop it.
a clear assist. Yeah. So, he's fantastic. These are all good picks, Brandon. We're just going to pick the ones, much like all those people who picked Jordan Henderson. We're just going to pick the ones that we personally like the most at the moment. And that is Harold Danforth Kane. So congrats to Harry Kane. By the way, Patrick Bamford's middle name apparently is James. So very, very boring.
James, get out of here with that.
All right, least valuable player. Lots of good candidates here, Brent. I picked my five favorites. The one I think we can maybe take off the list, at least for now, Aubameyang. Christian Pulisic. Is it harsh? I don't know. We'll talk about that. Anthony Martial. Matt Doherty, possibly off the list now after his 12-point return today.
Heroic.
Yep. And Raheem Sterling.
I mean, I have to sort of, I don't know, I have to be nice here, but Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Yep.
What an absolute disaster class from this guy this season.
Yeah. Rarely do players sign contracts and go, I mean, he's like pulling a Mesut Ozil at this point, right?
Yeah, he's like, thanks for the contract. I will be moonwalking out of the room now, never to be heard from again.
It's so weird. His one goal, I think it's from a pen too, right? Didn't the Man United goal that he scored, I think was a penalty, almost positive.
I mean, he does have two goals on the season. He also scored against Fulham in game week one, which we quickly forgot because it was just a different world back there in game week one. Actually, it was the very same world. But I just don't know what to say about him. If you were to look at this through the shrewd lens of an FPL manager, of all the players on the list you've got here, Josh, Aubameyang is laughable, just given his price tag. Brandon, twelve million now?
Yeah, I think we've got to throw Anthony Martial in there, though, my friend. I mean, this guy has no goals through eight matches on the season, putting up, you know, at least in the, I think he scored in the Champions League, but let's we're a Premier League.
Congratulations, so Tony.
congrats to you. Congrats on scoring on Ludogratz or whatever. He has zero goals and one assist. He picked up a three-match ban for violent conduct during a particularly rough time for the club. he is putting, you know, the stink face, the famous Anthony Martial stink face, which is just, you know, the face that he makes when he's so disgusted with his teammates or his manager or himself, is back, and it's almost etched on his face now, like a like he's got like a stink face Bell's palsy situation going on. And yeah, it's
Alex Trebek, rest in peace. We lost a real one this week. Yeah,
80 years old, very sad.
In Jeopardy, there is the coveted final round, Final Jeopardy. And it is always a sad sight when a Jeopardy contestant can't compete in Final Jeopardy because they actually have negative dollars and that disqualifies them. Yeah. And that's kind of where Anthony Martial is in the FPL season. Like, he is not allowed to compete in Final Jeopardy right now. That's how poorly he's done in FPL.
All right, so what about the others? We've got Pulisic. Now, Pulisic, I mean, at some point you do have to start worrying a little bit about him, right?
Yes, I think it's unkind of you to put Pulisic on this list because, I mean, Martial has missed the minutes that he's missed just because he slapped Lamella in the face like he was at like a discotheque or something like that. Right. And that was a weird thing for him to do. Pulisic has not played that many minutes just because he's made of paper mache. And that's horrifying as a U.S. men's national team fan, of course.
Sure. Yes.
But it's not like he's the least valuable player. When the minutes that he's been on the pitch for Chelsea, he's looked terrific.
Put on good minutes. Lots of assists to the assist.
Yeah.
Type thing.
I think how he creeps into your thinking for a least valuable player is just to see that and to know how valuable Pulisic could be, and we're not getting that, and that's the big disappointment.
All right, and then Matt Doherty, we'll give him a pass. That leaves one, you know, because he had a nice match day. He looks awful in almost all these matches. Like, he looks like he just really is not a great fit in that system. But maybe this goal, you know, turns things around a little bit. I mean, you know, it's always possible. So that leaves Raheem Sterling. And I felt like we needed to have a Man City player on here. Jesus and Aguero, so many injuries. Mm-hmm. But Raheem Sterling, just like, he's been given the conch, you know, the conch shell. Conch? Is that how you say that word? You know, the C-O-N-C-H?
Like a seashell that you blow into?
Yeah. Like,
yeah, conch? A conch,
yeah,
I think? Conch.
Yeah. Like, he was like, give, like, it was go like, it's your team now, buddy. And, you know, I mean, he has scored two goals. So, I mean, I have to give him some credit, but he is putting in some incredibly anonymous performances. I mean, three straight blanks in the last, you know, against West Ham, Sheffield United, and okay, Liverpool, give him a little bit, a break. But I mean, did he like touch the ball today? Like, I feel like I barely saw him, you know, get involved.
Two goals and one assist, the same as Aubameyang on the season. And I think how Aubameyang is more egregious to me because at this point, after game week 8, even after they got waxed by Aston Villa, I do still think Arsenal have shown that they look like they are the better squad right now. Mm-hmm. You know, through 38 weeks, we can have that conversation then. Man City have not looked great to start the season at all. They've been victim of some injuries and trying to sort out some issues at the back, which they have done. But Sterling being on the same level as Aubameyang right now, I think the fact that he hasn't been able to lift this City team at all is a real indictment. And you can't just – De Bruyne is the best – like one of the, if not the best player in Europe right now. So, of course, maybe you count on De Bruyne lifting this team up to the next level. But I totally agree with you. The shell, the puka shell necklace, the long staff, the horn, I don't know, the documents, the USB drive have all been handed over to Raheem Sterling. He's done nothing with them.
It was weird that De Bruyne missed that pen today. What an unusual thing.
Missed the target completely. It really was strange.
He's so good at everything he does. Like, he's only human, but it's just like, it was so shocking. It was.
I genuinely identified with his expression after that, though. His expression was just like, is this the real life or is this just fantasy? It was like when you blow, like you did this week, Josh, when you just blow the deadline. He just had this face of like, welp, there's only one thing to do. Just move ahead as if that never happened.
I agree. I liked him more after his response. It was a perfect response. All right. So I'm going to give it to Sterling, even though he's got a couple goals in the season. I think that he at 11.5 million, I know it's the same price as it was Aubameyang 12, whatever, you know, regardless.
He was 12. He's 11.7 now. That's how far he's fallen.
Yeah. Which is still like, he's got to fall like a 2 million more before he's like, but Sterling has barely fallen in price, and Sterling is almost worse because he keeps deceiving us, you know, but three consecutive blanks, and it's just like, it's gotta be so frustrating. You know, they play Fulham in game week 11. I guess that's when but people are still like all about, like, I feel like Sterling is still like in the conversation, and I just don't really get it, because I don't feel like if you're watching these matches, you're seeing a player who is creating a lot or being super involved. Now, maybe when Aguero comes back, that's different. I don't know, but I don't know. I'm not impressed.
I don't know. Well, we could, I guess this is the one time where we can talk about Manchester City in this actual episode, but forget Aguero. I thought Jesus looked pretty good this weekend, and it's clear that they do need a number 10 playing, a number 9 playing farther forward, and they're helped by that. So suddenly you go from this idea of Pep's Man City squad, FPL investment has to happen on the wings and people who are peripheral to the striker. And I'm just like, no, Jesus, in the way this team is currently constituted, I think Jesus is going to be a viable FPL asset way more than Sterling is at the moment.
Yeah, it was quite a nice goal, actually. People liked this match a little more than I did. I just wasn't quite feeling maybe because I was a little annoyed at myself about the Son Kane thing earlier in the day, but I thought it was an okay match. That the first half was pretty good, and the second half was pretty dreadful, to be honest. And did you feel the same way? The second half just for me, it just was a drag.
I don't know. I mean, I think if you put it in the context of the rest of the matches, on the whole, I enjoyed the matches this weekend. None of the matches really dragged for me, and I would put City Liverpool in that category. As much as it was kind of a bit of a slugfest, it didn't drag.
Okay, fair enough. Dragged for me a little bit. All right, we've got a couple more. Do we pick? Okay, I'm going to pick Sterling.
Who's Aubameyang for me?
Aubameyang. Okay, both good, both excellent picks. All right,
they're all winners. Yeah, they're all winners this year, Josh.
Got a few more categories here. Most improved player. I think this one we can we don't have to go through all the players quite as much. But I've listed here Ben Chilwell, Jack Grealish, Dominic Calvert-Lewin once again, Tariq Lamptey, and Brandon. I had to finish with your boy Shay Adams. So of these five, who's your pick?
Well, I do have to give credit to Che Adams for getting the goal when Danny Ings was out injured, and I 100% respect that. And I've had my issues with Southampton at the start of the season. I thought Alpine Klopp was a bit of a joke, and they reached the top of the table at some point this weekend, and that's great. Good on you, Southampton. Che Adams, you're getting there. You are not the most improved, however. To go from a guy who scores zero goals to a guy who occasionally scores goals, it's not good enough for this category. Lamptey is a fireball, and I love him, and I want to be friends with him. However, he can't be the most improved because I didn't know who Tariq Lamptey was until like 9 months ago. So, Tariq, we'll see you in this category next year.
Right,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think it's DCL. DCL,
he already scored 10 goals last season, so maybe
I feel like we still kind of are getting the same version of DCL, but he is benefiting from a better team around him.
So
through process of elimination, Josh, it's between Jack Grealish and Ben Chilwell. Why is it that suddenly Ben feels like an odd name for his first name? But
Tariq, if his name was Tariq Chilwell, that would be awesome.
All right, so I feel like I have to give it to, oh god, this is really hard, because Tariq Chilwell I think has got the DCL issue where he's in a different, well, he's not in a different team, but somehow the team around him is different and better. And Grealish is in the same weirdo Villa lineup, and he's, but God, this is hard. I want to go Tariq Chilwell. That's my pick.
Okay. I think Chilwell benefits a lot from the team, although he did have his moments last year too. I'm going to go drag Grealish. I think that he's just up the chance creation, up the, you know, I feel like he's a better goal scorer this season too. I feel like it just is, like his attacking returns, you know, if I can strictly fantasy here too, it's just like his returns are off the charts already this season. And, you know, I think it's, you know, approaching, you know, after 8 weeks, like I think like 2/3 of what he did last season in terms of return. So I'll go Grealish here, but yeah, they all have an argument. Tariq Lamptey would be fun, but maybe, as you said, was he like enough of a presence to qualify for this category?
He was only just born.
He looks very young. He is very, he looks like he's about 16 years old. Best newcomer. We've got Ollie Watkins. Good game today. Timo Werner and Hakim Ziyech. I threw them both in there, Brandon, even though Ziyech only played like 2 matches so far for Chelsea. And then the league anyway. J-Rod, James Rodriguez, and Patrick Bamford. Who's the best newcomer from this lot? Good group. Some good newcomers this season.
Yeah, I actually really like this group because I like them all, and I think they're all best newcomers. Werner is probably lowest on my list here because I just think for the potential and the expectations for Werner, he's not even come close. So that's to say maybe he should be better than everyone on this list, and he's not close to being better. Ziyech, as you say, he's looked great, but we've seen precious little of him. So maybe that boosts his stock because we've seen so little of him, but he's looked that good when we have. James Rodriguez, low on my list too, because I just feel like, and maybe this is biased because of how James is like bounced around various clubs around England. I just feel like it's very
Europe, yeah.
Around Europe, is what I meant to say. I just feel like the situation has to be just right. And if I want to say best newcomer, I feel like if James suddenly moves to a different club, he disappears from our world. That would be my thought there.
He's looked pretty good.
Looked great. I'm not saying he hasn't looked great. I think what I'm suggesting is James Rodriguez is actually a figment of Carlo Ancelotti's imagination. And if Ancelotti doesn't exist, then if Ancelotti wakes up from his dream, that suddenly Rodriguez disappears. That's kind of my theory there. So weirdly, I think I am with best newcomer struggling between two championship strikers, Bamford and Watkins. And I think this goes back to the first category of most valuable player in a literal sense. And I think we're clearly getting incredible value from Watkins and Bamford. And God, I think it's a coin flip between these two guys. Yeah.
I think Bamford maybe takes it. Just he started the season a little bit lower in price. You know, he is outscoring Watkins by 11 points so far in the season. And he's been pretty consistent too. 5 returns in 8 matches, whereas Watkins has struggled a little more at times. So I hear your anguish, Brandon. It's you're actually, you know, we're on a video call right now, and you're crying, which I think is you're taking it too seriously. I think you have to pull back a little bit, Brandon. I know.
Can we take a break? Can you throw it to a break, please?
Can we do an ad read? Come on.
Manscaped.com.
So I'm gonna step in and I'll pick Patrick Bamford here for us. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Last two categories, the same, but most at least. So most valuable team for FPL managers. Who has been the best team for FPL managers when it comes to picking those assets?
I can't believe you put Wolverhampton on this list. I am here to tell you that Wolverhampton sucks. Get them out of my face. Not interested, my friend.
All right. They Wolverhampton. The table. All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so let me just list off the other assets then. I've got, for most valuable, I've got Leeds, Aston Villa, Liverpool, and Everton. Or scrap Wolves. Wolves and Southampton are in that. Wolves and Southampton are in that weird category where it's like you know, it's like Southampton's defense, they either keep a clean sheet or concede 9 goals. Like there's like nothing in between, apparently.
Vestergaard, baby.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be Aston Villa, just pound for pound. You've got lots of options there. They're all very affordable. This is a team that we've been devouring from goal. It's like it from back to front. Goalkeeper, yep. We got you with Martinez. Defense, we've got you with Target, with Mings, with Konsa. In the midfield, what do you want? You want Grealish? You want McGinn? You want Barkley? No problem. Up front, we've got Ollie Watkins. It's all there. It's a smorgasbord. It's a grab bag. It's a party. It's Aston Villa. We love it.
You know, I think you've kind of said it. So let's just move. I agree. I mean, the only reason I even had Liverpool on here was just because Mane and Salah are both fairly reliable captain picks. I guess that was
but that is the hottest FPL take of all time.
I know, right? Yeah, by that talking, you have Spurs in there too. All right, least valuable team for FPL managers. This one's a little more fun. The least valuable team for FPL managers this season, I have Man City, Man United, Burnley, Sheffield and Arsenal. Brandon, this is a loaded group. I probably could have thrown Liverpool on here as well, given the state of their defense. Yeah. So Man City, Man United, Burnley, Sheffield, Arsenal, which one has been the least valuable team for FPL managers?
Well, I think Manchester United is getting a bum rap here because if you have Bruno Fernandes, you are loving Manchester United as an FPL manager. Mm. Obviously, they have contained problems at the club. Goes without saying. So I think that they escape this trophy in this early season ceremony. City, I don't know. I think it's got to be Sheffield United because how many, and don't say I didn't warn you, everybody out there listening, how many Rian Brewster owners out there are just like, my God, what have I done? What did I do to my team?
Yeah. It's the, you know, honestly, it's just the 4.5 million striker. It's just like a
happens every season.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mason Greenwood finally came good, but even he made everybody suffer for the first 30 weeks or so of the season before he finally got there. Yeah. It's so true. I mean, you really do want to have enough money to bring in these cheapy strikers. You know, I had a piece of advice that I read a couple weeks ago, and I read it on the Fantasy Football Scout, and it was one of their, like, you know, the manager, you know, the pundit things or whatever. I don't know. I'm not paid to promote them. So it was an article on that site. That's enough of a promotion.
Manscaped.com.
They were saying that their strategy is to, when they have a cheaper striker, is not to, like, basically ever waste time, energy, or transfers on those players. It's like you just ride them out for very long stretches at a time and assume that they're going to meet their value or, you know, hopefully exceed it. And that was, when I read that, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to keep the faith with Watkins, sort of just by that token. You know, it was like a piece of advice that really resonated with me. And so I think, anyway, I don't want to get too off track here because we're talking about, has he even like touched the ball? It feels like
Brewster.
It feels like I can't even remember Brewster having like a moment where he has created a big chance or been involved. You know, it feels like he's just been a complete non-factor. So
I think Liverpool fans would say Brewster is a clinical striker, but he has to get that Vardy type service. Like Brewster's not going to create his own chance. You've got to catch him and Sheffield United are not that counter-attacking sort of a team. So it just seemed like a ridiculous buy to me.
Brendan, here's how it's not his fault, clearly, because you go to Sheffield United's page. They have played 7 matches so far this season. They did not play in game week 1. They've played 7 matches so far this season. And you go down and look at how many points their midfielders have. By the time you get down to the third player in that list, you are in single digits. The third, like Osborne, has 9 points. John Lundstrom has 11 points. He's in second. He's the second highest midfielder on that team. 11 points in 7 matches. That's like, what, like 1.4 points per match?
Yeah.
Like that is a disaster.
They have played 8 game weeks. So they played in game week 1. It was Burnley and Villa and
Oh, you're right.
City in. I can't remember. So, yeah, so even worse. It makes it worse.
I was looking at Osborne. Didn't play in that first match. That's what threw me off. But yeah, exactly. So they played 8 matches. It's crazy. It's like, it's wild.
It is. And I guess it's sort of, it's comforting if you support a club like Fulham to be like, okay, we've got some bona fide trash teams in the league this season. What do you think about Burnley though? Burnley doesn't get the award, and I think Burnley kind of skates by because they represent some sort of FPL value. I mean, just look at what Charlie Taylor did this weekend. That's good enough.
Yep.
But are they going down?
Yeah, I mean, it honestly just makes you like realize how easy it is to just fall fall apart, you know, in these bottom half of the table clubs. I mean, you know, the problem is just that, I mean, they have Wood and Barnes, who put in great performances both last season, right? Mm-hmm. I think they both finished on, you know, I guess Barnes only finished on 6 goals last season, which is shockingly low. I think he scored the first 4 matches.
He had that long-term injury, I think, which stifled those numbers. But Chris Wood turns up every match. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's turned up every match he's played. I didn't realize he'd played, and they actually are a team that did miss game week one. But yeah, in the last 7 matches, he's played virtually every minute. He finally got pulled off with 7 minutes left in the last one. But, you know, 1 goal in 7 matches is just not good enough. And McNeil, who I really like, has not stepped up the way I'd hoped he had. And they're, I mean, honestly, they just didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to strengthen their team. And Dale Stevens.
So like that is like the biggest joke transfer of the season without a doubt.
He was their marquee signing, you know, like when Dale Stevens is your marquee signing, you're probably struggling a little bit. And, you know, I kind of like Burnley. I know Deitch is like he is who he is, you know, but like, I mean, they're sort of a fun team to root for, and they're actually pretty fun to have in fantasy when they're playing consistently, right? Because they're not too expensive. But now you got the situation where they were just good enough last year that like Tarkowski is 5.4 million. Mm-hmm. You can never have him now. You know, so it's interesting. Yeah, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I think you said it best in that they were fun for fantasy because they really had a strong identity in seasons past, and that sort of Stoke City early apps identity of this is a team that's tight. They will play defense.
Yep.
And that's great for an FPL manager where you're just looking to pad your defensive lineup, and they're just not presenting any value right now. So, but the winner still is Sheffield United. We have agreed.
Yeah. Man City deserves a big old shout. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I still see a lot of value to come. Just, we just don't know where yet. It's not a fun season for them. You know, it is Pep's most boring team for sure. This is not a team, you know, it's very, very rare for Pep Guardiola team to not be, you know, box office in terms of just watching them crush people, you know. Mm-hmm. They're just like, it's, you know, I mean, even like when they play these one-sided matches, it can be a real pleasure to watch them just, you know, score a goal and 7 minutes in, and, you know, and then pile it on from there. And it's like a 7, and this is even pre-COVID, right? Like, they were seeing that, you know, they were putting up COVID level scores in pre-COVID times, Brandon. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, and now it feels like it's just not the same, is it? Ferran Torres seems okay. It's fun. There's not like a talent. I feel like they need like another big personality. It's like they're missing a personality right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's just all quiet players. And I don't know if it's a transitional team like Ferran Torres. He's younger and Foden, it is kind of crazy, and I know you're a Foden owner on your FPL squad. It's just crazy how
much
Pep,
longer.
Why doesn't Pep just run with it and say, you know what? It's not like everything's going great guns here at City. Let's just play Foden. Yeah. He plays with a certain level of, I mean, I'm going to sound like charisma. An English broadcaster right now there, where it's all about heart and guts and all that crap. But you don't see that coming from any other player on the pitch.
I completely agree. It was shocking that it was a 1-0 match, and they felt like they could have used someone like him. And, you know, and just, I guess he just doesn't fit into that team very well. I was just about to sign a new contract. And it's kind of like, why? You know, like, I'm not saying he should like
go to Dortmund,
Aston Villa type, but yeah, it just feels like maybe this isn't like the best fit for him, or, you know, maybe KDB is just too much in that spot. I thought he would kind of fill into the Silva role, but clearly he's not trusted for it. And they, you know, he can't really play in the left because that's where Sterling is. I will say I would not have brought in Foden had I known Jesus was going to be back from injury so fast, because that really took a spot from the midfield. And clearly Gundogan is trusted to be a more defensive player. And I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, like Pep is, he knows much more than I do. And so it's easy for me to sit here and criticize him, but it does feel strange to, not play Foden. Like he got a total of 8 minutes in the last two matches, and both matches were fairly toothless attacking performances. Yeah. So just strange.
All right, Josh, play the fanfare as we go out. Thank you for joining us for the Always Cheating Early Season Award winners. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to present to you the Always Cheating Lightning Round.
Can't wait.
All right, gang, even though sports had that break, your business, it didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, and you only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Take it from us. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Brandon, football is back in full swing. Full swing, Brandon. I watched the end of a double overtime college football game last night. It was I had not seen a lot of college football this season, Brandon, but I was waiting for Saturday Night Live, and I caught the end of the game. But sports are back across the board in full swing. We've got a Masters this month. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Yeah, Masters. Yeah. I can't believe. Got to set the DVR, baby.
You may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, at BetOnline.ag. It's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, fellas, listen up. Manscaped is on a mission to change male grooming with their below-the-waist grooming and hygiene products, and they just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia. So listen up. All ye men around the world looking for grooming tools, the Lawnmower 3.0 is the trimmer that offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology. So if you're looking to groom your naughty bits, this is a safe, comfortable way to do it. You can even do it in the shower because this Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof. What's more is Manscaped sent us the Weed Whacker in the mail. What is the Weed Whacker, Josh? This is the state-of-the-art technology to trim your nose and ear hair. And as a man, I can confirm these are things that are a part of your life. So yep. Get with it. Mm-hmm. Get with it. And in addition to these tools, you can also get things like the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Anti-Chafing Crotch Deodorant, Balms and Ointments, all that sort of stuff to make you smell good, to make you feel good. And it's all cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free? I think I'm pronouncing that right. Whatever. It's all fantastic stuff, perfect for your Christmas list. And if you're shopping for your man or if you want somebody to get you male grooming tools, use the code ALWAYS, and you can get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Basically, all we're saying to you is if you love your package and you want to give a gift to someone who does, visit manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with that code ALWAYS.
All right, quick lightning round, Brandon, to Patreon supporter questions. First one's less of a question, more of a rant, I think. But
it's been a while since we've had a rant on Always Cheating. No,
exactly. We used to have a rant of the week, didn't we, back in the day? Eric Freeman, longtime friend, former co-host of the Always Cheating podcast, or one time, I should say, former, as long as we kicked him off the show, says, "I don't want to make you, I don't want to make y'all jealous, but I got a humble brag for this week's pod. My team was loaded with flags, most of which would solve themselves after the international break. I would have had to take a big hit to field a full 11 this game week." Sort of similar problem to you, Brandon. So I used my free hit and targeted the most favorable fixtures. Pretty smart, right?
No.
Loaded up on Spurs and Arsenal players. My free hit team scored 53 points. My original team would have scored 67 points with only 9 men.
Wow. I love that 9 men. That's a flex. If you were to say, you know what, I'm going to play FPL this season and I'm only going to play 9 men the entire season. Like you're always bringing in like red flagged players to fill up your bench.
Foden, yeah.
Or Phil Foden, right, exactly. It's rough. I mean, giving you a hard time here, Eric, but I feel your pain because there's just been an incredible amount of uncertainty and unpredictability. You look at what happened with Brighton a couple of weeks ago where Mbappe didn't make the squad. Matt Ryan was on the bench. Romain Saïss has suddenly lost his place in that Wolves team, which like at this point, why? I mean, whatever Nuno is doing at Wolves, I didn't watch
today's match, so I'll have to watch some highlights, and I'm sure you're
I don't know where you could find highlights because there were none. Wolves were just absolutely atrocious.
Yeah. I do want to see this Vardy penalty miss, at least. I think of him as, like, the best penalty taker, so I was shocked that he...
Yeah, the Vardy pen miss was the ultimate in FPL viewing because you just knew. That's when you start to see the binary code of FPL odds. He slammed home the first pen, and then the second one comes up, and you're just like, he's missing this. There's no way. And sure enough, it was just a pretty easy save for Patricio. I mean, Patricio went the right way. Anyway,
who were we at the bar with? This is like 5 years ago, the year that Leicester won the league. I think it was Tim Shaw when we were at Legends in New York, and I had brought in Mahrez and captained him. It was the first week I had Mahrez, and Mahrez was on pens at that point. And then Mahrez handed the ball over to Vardy so that Vardy could score to keep his goal scoring streak alive. Yeah. And I remember I got my coat and I walked out of the bar without saying goodbye. I was just like, I'm done. Of course, I came crawling back like 20 minutes later. But
I had to explain to Tim, that's just what Josh does from time to time. You just have to learn to live with it. It's true. Yeah, that was Vardy, I agree with you. I love the way he takes pens where he just lashes it. I mean, Lookman, you know, get. Yep. Get the YouTube.
So Salah does too. It's clearly the smart way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. The Troy Deeney where he just rips it straight up the middle every single time, which is incredible. But
yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. What else do we have to say about Eric's comment here? Just don't be hasty with your free hit.
Well, I guess the only lesson here is, I actually think sometimes it's fine to have 10 players. One of my best seasons a couple years ago, I had this weird stretch during the holidays where there's just like massive rotation, and I had 3 consecutive weeks where I only had 10 players in my team, and it was actually fine. Like it didn't really like, cause in the end you have enough times when you get the Stuart Dallas 0 pointers or a 1 pointer from, a player comes on late or gets a yellow card or whatever, that it really is usually fine. And sometimes I think there's this temptation like, well, I've got to burn 8 cause I need to field a full 11. And sometimes you're really better off just waiting. So not to pile on, but that I think is a takeaway. All right. A couple more questions. Emil Seedlick says the best Jimenez replacement. He sounds like you here, Brandon. He says, I watched the last 2 Wolves games and there is no creativity at all. I have Podence as well. So you are Brandon. I want you to pledge to me that you're not going to burn 4 this game week though. I think the burning 4 has got to, it's got to end. I don't think it's working.
Out of control.
Yeah. So, but I assume you're thinking about replacing Jimenez, right?
Yeah, I think my plan right now, early on in the international break, like hours into the international break, is actually to roll my transfer. Yeah. Wolves gets one more week.
Oh, right, because they play Southampton at home, right?
Southampton. And that's, you know, I was trying to, as best I could, sing Southampton's praise earlier in the pod. I don't think this is like a slam dunk fixture for Wolves, not by any stretch. But if they're going to get any sort of attacking flow together, and, you know, Southampton can play that high line and would allow Wolves to do some counterattacking. And I do appreciate the speed that Wolves have, and that would really help them. But now I totally agree. The creativity is not happening. And when they subbed Traore on for Podence this week, it was awful. Like, Traore offered nothing. And, you know, we don't really need to talk about Traore. We love him on this podcast, obviously.
Sure.
But he's been found out. Teams know what he's doing. And it's pretty easy to just put two men on him. Don't allow him to go down the line or through the middle. Just sort of hem him in and you're okay. Maybe one or two times he's going to break loose. But it's just not happening. Wolves were, as I know, at the end of game week 8, the worst decision that I made on my wild card in game week 3. So yeah, Jimenez and Podence both have to go, but I agree with you, Josh. The burning four, you have to just be patient with it. I'm not going to burn four just to punish them because they don't Jimenez know what I'm doing.
And Jimenez is a great player. I mean, you know, it's not like it's some, you know, like, it's not, it'll never be a disaster to go into a game week with Jimenez, you know, even if they're missing, they're clearly missing a number 10. I mean, Podence offered some of that, but not with any level of, you know, for a team that should be able to contend all season long for a Champions League spot. And also, what is up with this other dude? Was this like a favor to, that man, like, I know there's that like super agent whose name I'm forgetting right now, who they like work with on all their signings. Like, why, I don't know why they brought in this forward, because he doesn't, I'm not quite sure.
Oh, Silva?
Yeah, like, what is the,
he looks cool.
He does look cool.
Like he's either really good at football or he's a computer whiz. And I'm not sure we've decided which yet. He might be a computer whiz.
It's just strange. You know, I still do like, Kilman, though, as an option on that team. I mean, I know their fixtures get bad after this, but great value for sure. I mean, that team can defend.
Okay, fine. You can say whatever you all want right about Wolves. I don't really have
Wolves. Let's move on. Yeah, it's from, we didn't even answer the question.
bring in Bamford or Watkins.
Yeah, bring in Bamford or Watkins. I think that's, let's keep it that simple. Probably Watkins, honestly. He looks great. He's 6 points.
Yeah, Leeds fixtures are a little weird coming up. Not that that really tells us anything, because Leeds are the weirdest team in the league right now. Much respect to them. But I think Watkins might serve to be slightly more consistent.
8 goals conceded in the last 2 is not awesome. All right, this is a classic question. Sam Danby says, wild card over the break to hit the price rises. Or hold, knowing there still could be a double game week at some point. So if you still had a wild card and you had some issues to resolve, would you wild card now, or would you just, you know, hold off at this point?
Yeah, I think this break is a great time to wild card. We talked about game week 9 being a pivot point where Manchester United, I mean, we haven't talked a ton about United because their team is in a weird spot, but they have
next week.
Yeah, they've got West Brom at Old Trafford in game week 9, followed by Southampton and West Ham. Then it's the Manchester Derby, the Sheffield United, Leeds. So it's a decent run for them. And despite the stress at the club, Bruno delivers for FPL. Rashford is liable to explode at any moment. So I think getting those players in that you probably don't have is a good reason to wildcard. And look at Manchester City. They've got Spurs in game week 9, but after that it's Burnley and Fulham, both at the Etihad. Great opportunities there. Are you going to catch any price rises, Sam? I feel like we're not going to see a ton of action in the price market over the break, because I don't know that beyond Chelsea, I think Ziyech is probably the player that's going to see the most price action over the break, but apart and maybe Chilwell, but apart from that, I don't think there's going to be a ton of action in the price market.
Yeah, and I think especially this season, just with I think people are really tuning out during these international breaks even more than before, and so I feel like we're not seeing the same level of excitement in between these. I feel like the Premier League itself, the conversation, you know, it feels like that's still seeing a lot of excitement on the matches, but it feels like the international breaks are being treated kind of like a court mandated thing. You know, it's like, I don't feel like anyone's sweating the results of these too much. So I feel like, but because of that, I think people just sort of check out on the Premier mm-hmm. League and football for a couple of weeks. Last question is from Chris. It just says, is Grealish essential now? Would you advocate a -4 for anyone to get him next game week?
I'm just looking at Villa's fixtures coming up: Brighton, West Ham, Newcastle, Wolves, Burnley. Well, geez, these are incredible fixtures for Villa.
They really are.
Sure, why not?
Yeah,
I mean, I think either burn four or get him going into game week 10. The choice is yours.
I know. Now it's hard for me to part with Watkins, because I have Target and Martinez. I mean, it's part of me is tempted just to drop Target just so I can bring in. Mm-hmm. Grealish, and I mean, I probably won't do that because it feels like a waste of a transfer, but it is tempting because I think Grealish is absolutely worth a -4.
Yeah, Villa are going to be kind of controversial in that you still have to accept that they are a mid-table team and they will disappoint you greatly, you know, in random weeks, but. As we declared in our early season awards, they're the most valuable team because they offer great price points that sort of give them that flexibility to deliver one out of every 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes Watkins, and you know, I think it really was smart. If Smith was the one who really pushed for it, it was smart for Watkins to get that pen last week because it does seem like his confidence got a real boost after that. And I just think that, you know, I mean, Grealish kind of speaks for himself. And, you know, I think Watkins, I mean, it's just like exactly what you want in a 6 million forward, right? It's just like he high energy, plays 90 minutes every single match, you know, right at the front of the line, doesn't seem to sulk, you know, he's just like, I don't know. He's just like, he's kind of exactly what you'd hope to have. It seems like he fights for all 90 mm-hmm. minutes, you know? And so you feel like he's going to just scrap a few extra points this season just because of that.
Right, for sure. Yeah, up the Villa.
Let's do it. And a Prince William's team, Brandon. All right, thank you for joining us. Next week's pod will preview game week 9. This is kind of fun. I think it was a little different. Nice to run through the awards, you know, mix it up a little bit.
So these are a big deal, Josh, the awards. People... We're placing, speaking of bet online, futures bets. People are placing futures bets on who is going to win these awards. So this is kind of a big deal.
We did list these on Bet Online before. So hopefully we did list them 5 minutes before the pod started. So, you know, I don't know if you got it or not.
All right, guys. So, yeah, just a reminder, if you like what you hear, you want to say thank you to the cheaters, visit us at patreon.com/alwayscheating and become a supporter of the podcast. What you get in return is just a ton more FPL content, including an extra podcast every week. Enter our prize mini league, also our Slack chat forum, t-shirts at the highest level of support. And we like to thank our producers every week. Josh, say hello to our producer patrons.
Trevor Ingerson, Mike DePietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bob Ascoon, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland. Jazz Binning, you know, Brennan, I was in debate in high school, but I don't get to use my quick talking voice very often anymore.
Your micro machine man voice.
Dave Wagner-Lodal, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Kaya Kirstina Lang, Andy Porlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson. Thank you for the note, Carrie. She was enjoying a gin and tonic. I almost did, and then I remembered I had some champagne to finish. But she was celebrating last night too. Paul Scanlon, Karen Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Bruno Stu, producer Matt, Michael Yuong, Bruce Kerr, Alper Paxoy, Nicholas Vernadakis, Sam Schauer, Henry Baker, Will Husby, Rich Evans, and our newest producer patron, Bobby Stiles. Thank you so much to everyone who supports the pod. If you want to find us, we are and all the usual places, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast. You can certainly rate, review, and subscribe. All those things help to boost us in the old algorithm, Brandon. It's like the cloud. I don't really know what it is, but there's an algorithm out there, and it helps people find the pod. You can follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram, Facebook. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com, and you can visit us at alwayscheating.com for everything. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Poku forever.
Sweet Poku.